when I was on tour and we had been performing for about a year up until that point, we had a month-long sit-down in LA at the Pantages Theater, and that was the beginning of me entering into what would eventually become about a month-long manic episode. And I keep seeing all these videos of Kendra and her psychiatrist and realizing obviously how many people are so ill-informed about mania and hypomania and psychosis and how they're all slightly different. But I was asking myself, like, what would probably be the one thing that somebody could have noticed? Because I didn't even notice, because how it feels is so vastly different than how it's depicted in media, right? Like, my God, if we could bottle up grandiosity, like, oh my God. Before I get into the specific tell that I think I had before entering this episode, here are some of the other things that happened. I'm smiling because that's how we deal with discomfort, but it's really not funny. And what Kendra's going through is really not funny. And maybe if we were more educated in it, then what we see happening right now wouldn't be happening. As far as like our part in the discourse, not necessarily with her. It might be disturbing to you, so light trigger warning, but also TikTok's going away in a few weeks, so here we go. First of all, no exaggeration, I am amazed to this day that I did not die. I'm amazed that I should not be here with all of the risks and behavior that I was exhibiting. I became disturbingly sexually promiscuous. I was on Tinder like it was my job. I didn't use protection. I wasn't on birth control. I didn't know these people. I got in their cars. I Ubered to their houses without telling anyone where I was going. I was under the influence. At one point, there was a gang member in my house that had brought his gun. Like, it's so crazy to remember being in my body because it legitimately seemed so normal. In the same way that it took me years to actually realize and acknowledge that my ex-husband who tried to kill me was abusive. It took me a long time to realize that. Convinced that nothing could happen to me because I was being protected by, like, divine power. A month-long sit-down was immediately followed by the first break we had had in a year. We had been touring the coldest states of the country. And everyone else left to do whatever they're going to do for the whole month, and I just decided to stay in LA for the whole month. Over the next 4 weeks, I basically did not eat or sleep. I'll never forget looking back at some vlog footage, because at the time I had just bought like a DJI gimbal and I was really in my content creator bag, and me turning around and seeing the back of my matted hair, because apparently I would put my hair in like this French braid and I would just leave it. Like I literally would wear the same hair and not brush it just for weeks at a time. My eyes were so bloodshot and I was so skinny, and I'll never forget looking at that video and seeing myself for the first time years later and being like, holy shit. I would basically go to the gym where I was staying at and freestyle, because I was like an animation hip-hop dancer, for hours. And I don't mean just like, oh, like I'm a dedicated dancer. I mean that like I would stand and repeat tutting and like do all these drills for, I have time lapses of it to where it almost starts to look like a horror movie, because it's like, what are you doing? And the only reason I didn't completely ruin my life was because I was in a contract that was for multiple years. And so even though I spent all of my money in that sit down, I still went back to getting paid every single week for touring and performing. So like I didn't have rent, I didn't have bills. So I was really lucky. I remember one day being so weak that I had to crawl out of bed, but I was also so happy. And so I was like, why am I so weak? And it was because I literally hadn't eaten. And I'll never forget just having to force basic sustenance down because I was literally starving. To this day, people still don't believe the amount of alcohol that I was consuming and still able to be functional, because they're like, oh, you're a little Asian and you're 4'11", 100 pounds, you know, not knowing like Koreans' propensity for drinking, but I was easily drinking 2 bottles of white wine a day and half a bottle of Espolòn. My tour trunk was basically filled with nothing but devil's lettuce and mezcal. And there was like one other drug addict on the tour that we would like share trunk space. Everybody else had like clothes and shit and makeup, and I just had whatever substances. It's crazy because I was actually also one of the dance captains for this tour. So I was helping run rehearsals. I was helping like bring new cast members in. Never once affected my pole dancing. It never once affected my blocking. It never once affected my performance on the stage. And I think about that a lot now, because I was basically in a functional state of blackout doing like acrobatics and shit. But it's a show that I had done for years. And you know, being autistic and understanding that repetition, you develop a sense memory when you've done a show for years, 8 shows a week. And not only are you like in the show, you're also helping. Like it was like wearing the same pair of false. I was wearing the same pair of false eyelashes for like 8 days at a time. I was disgusting. But I think the tell for me that really stood out, which is not specific to me, but I'm just saying out of everything, this is what like kind of indicated something, was a very distinct sort of smugness I had. Because going back to that feeling of how grandiosity manifests, when you feel better than you have ever felt about yourself and you feel more secure than you've ever felt, as if God is literally on your side, that made me so patient and so loving and so like I seemed in a lot of ways in my hypomania probably the best I had ever been in a lot of ways. There was a specific type of smugness that if you were able to be around it consistently, is just not natural. I already have a bad awareness of like danger, which is ironic because I'm also OCD and scared of everything. But that level of confidence in the world to that degree is not natural. Like, even if you came up to me with like a weapon in your hand and you're like, I'm gonna hurt you, my reaction would have been like, oh, my child, you feel the need to do that. You know what I mean? And then when the tour ended abruptly because of COVID and I had a couple years afterward to really unpack like this violent just amputation of a life that I had lived up until, you know, like almost 40. One of the strangest things was opening up to a few select close friends and updating them about like, oh, I've learned I'm autistic. And like, I think that this time when we were on tour together, I was in an actual state of psychosis because I believed things that just weren't true. So interesting how certain friends almost gave me pushback as in like, oh, don't think that about yourself. No, like you weren't like in like a manic episode. You were just an artist. And like, oh, why do you feel the need to like victimize yourself now? Because that hits on another big part of deconstructing this whole experience. Truly asking yourself how much of my magic was me and how much of my magic was just delusion. I also created some amazing art that I was extremely proud of. You know, it's like that whole same conversation with addiction again. Like how much of that was me and how much of that was just my addiction. Talking about addiction or whether we're talking about episodes, and a lot of times they're very related. Society and people will often say, we love you and we don't want you to be on drugs. But it also seems like they loved you more before when you were. Now you're not as fun and now you're cranky and you seem to be a burden to everybody. Why can't you just be easier and happy like you used to before? Because I was on drugs! That life isn't worth living and that you don't want to be around if it's not for the drugs. But then you get to feel guilt on top of already struggling with how you feel. You know what I'm saying? Because it seems like a lot of times people don't realize that the times that they love you the most are the times when you actually maybe weren't doing as well. I really get chills, like to this day, thinking about how lucky I am. It does ruin lives, and kind of similar to meltdowns, the shame afterward is just as bad as having to deal with the experience itself. To try to look at it as like an illness, like a moment where people are going to need help on the other side, because so often there's nothing there. And just because you're mentally unwell doesn't also mean that you can't be predatory. Multiple things can exist at the same time. Just saying.